What's up, Radiant Icons, and welcome back to Dare to Be Iconic, the podcast made for icons who are daring to be themselves. I'm your host, Amanda Policelli, and for today's Tea Time Sesh, we're doing another episode rewind. I am loving these episode rewinds, Radiant Icons, like, oh my goodness, and today is no exception. We are pressing replay on one of my personal favorites from season two, and it's so crazy, Radiant Icons, to listen to this specific Tea Time Sesh, Love Letters from Within, Boundaries, Trauma, and Healing, because this Tea Time Sesh was honestly, at the time I recorded this episode, I had not disclosed to anyone in my life about the dating violence relationship I was in at 18 years old. And this Tea Time Sesh that we are about to press replay on was the first Tea Time Sesh where I really pushed myself to talk about what healing at that time looked like for me without disclosing or without crossing that boundary that I had placed for myself of not talking about it yet, because at that time I was not ready to talk about or start the conversation of dating violence. So it's really, really interesting to me to listen back to this episode, especially now with where I am at in my healing journey while I'm healing out loud and reclaiming my story and turning my pain into power with you guys. But before I press replay, Radiant Icons, on this very special Tea Time Sesh, I dare you to turn your pain into power with me by joining me on March 22nd at 1:30 p.m. Eastern for our first masterclass of 2026. Break up with the past, fall in love with the future, inspired by our very, very popular healing journal, Radiant Icons. I love this class so much because it is one of the core foundational pillars of Dare to Be Iconic. Together in this masterclass, we will be releasing old stories, reconnecting with our true selves, and stepping boldly into the iconic future that we are creating. This masterclass is powered by love, fearlessness, and unstoppable confidence, and I cannot wait to see you there. Make sure to secure your spot today by clicking the link in the show notes below or going to daretobeiconic.com under the Empowerment Events section. Are you ready, Radiant Icons? Because your Tea Time Sesh is starting now. Let's press rewind on Love Letters from Within, Boundaries, Trauma, and Healing. I've had to stop and re-record this episode probably about 100 times by now because it makes me so nervous talking about this specific subject. But I know that I'm not the only one dealing with it. And I know I actually need to deal with it because I like avoiding this subject because it's easier for me to pretend that none of this shit has happened to me. And it's so easy for me to live in this delusion of, no, everything is fine. When in all reality, no, it's not fine and it's not okay. And I need to deal with it. And I know for a fact I am not the only one that deals with their trauma in this way of avoidance. And I know it's gonna bite me in the booty, but I need to talk about it. So let's get into it. Trauma is such a hard thing to understand. And I honestly feel like it will never make sense to me. And there's so many layers to it, right? Like there's anger, there's guilt, there's blame, there's shame, there's frustration. There's everything interlaced into it. And even more than the emotions that I named, because you truly don't know the emotions that will pop up until you're in that aftermath situation of that healing process. And I think the biggest reason as to why I like to avoid talking about trauma specifically is because I feel like I failed myself in the healing process. And I know I have said healing is not linear. Healing is like a roller coaster. I know I said that in episode 3 of season 1. I know. And it's true, like healing is a roller coaster, but it doesn't negate the feelings of me feeling like I failed because I have a couple of bad days when I'm in this healing process of dealing with my trauma for like 7 years at this point. Like, let's be so for real right now. Like, I didn't realize that 2 months of my life would leave me with a lifetime of trauma. And in this case, it's been 7 years and I still don't deal with it. And when October comes around, because it always comes around, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be fine this month. It's going to be fine. Blah, 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 blah. I'm lying to myself. I am lying to myself. And I don't know if that's some type of defense mechanism of, oh, it's going to be okay. You're going to get through it. Because I know I'll get through it. I know I get through the tough shit, clearly. But doesn't make it easier. And I want to have this conversation with you guys because I know I'm not the only one that does this. I know it. And I know that when we're in this aftermath of really figuring out what the hell are we going to do with the shit that has just happened to us, it's really, really scary. And sometimes you just don't know how to pick up the pieces, but you have to. And I think when it comes specifically to trauma, not only is it a very personalized experience, and I'm saying that with so much disgust because I hate that we all have to deal with this, but it's so individualized because the way that I will process and heal from my trauma will be different than how someone else processes and deals with their trauma because we're all different. We're all uniquely iconic in our own way. And that's great. But that also means that there's not a guidebook on how to deal with the hard shit that we're put through. The best way I can approach this episode is sharing what has worked for me and what hasn't worked for me. And I'm not going to be trauma dumping because no one wants that. And frankly, I don't know if I can handle that. But also, trauma is your story to tell and you don't have to share it with anyone. And I think I've been very firm on that boundary. Boundaries are a big one with trauma. So let's just start with that one, right? So like my therapist had told me, trauma is your story to tell and you don't have to share it with anyone. There are some traumatic experiences that I am very firm with. I am not sharing them at all. Like it doesn't matter if anyone else wants to know the backstory of why I feel or react a certain way to certain things. It doesn't matter. I don't feel comfortable sharing it because that is my trauma and I don't want to share it with you. And you have every right to deny someone of that like access to you. And I think that's the hardest thing that I've had to deal with personally because I am such an oversharer, as we all know. Also, it's hard for me to find the private stuff and then the public stuff to share. And I know the core of Dare to Be Iconic is I spill the tea about my life, but there are some things that I just don't want to spill the tea about because I don't want to, actually, because I don't want to. See, right there, that's me setting a boundary and being very firm in it. And that's hard for me. Setting boundaries is always like this. Oh, like it's like this hard concept because it's like you don't, at least in my case, like I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but also I need to know that I don't owe anyone anything. I truly don't. If I don't want to talk about a certain situation or scenario that has happened to me, I don't need to talk about it if I don't want to. And I want to tell you that that's okay. You don't have to tell anyone anything that you don't want to. Especially when it comes to trauma. I think the biggest thing with healing and processing trauma is setting boundaries. And boundaries are so hard to set because sometimes you don't even know where to start. And it's all about like testing it out and seeing what works and what doesn't work and having that like self-awareness of, oh, I need to set a boundary here because I need to protect my personal and mental sanity at this moment. But it's like, how do you start setting those boundaries? And there's no guidebook to that, you guys. As many times as I remember asking my therapist, so how do I set boundaries? How do I do it? And her answer always is, you just figure it out. It's this ever continuing process. And I'm like, well, that's not helpful right now as I'm crying my eyes out. Like, but she's right. She's always right. You need to just figure it out. Every experience that we deal with is individualistic. And it's like there are different boundaries for certain things. I'm going to tell you it's not easy. I don't have a step-by-step guide to it because I don't even know where to begin half the time. It's really just figuring it out. And sometimes I fail, and we all know how I feel about failing. But like, you know, I fail and I figure out, okay, that boundary is not what I needed. Maybe I try this instead. You know, it's all about just figuring it out and feeling out the situation. And as time goes on, you'll get better at setting the boundaries because you'll know what you want. And I think it goes down even deeper into figuring out who you are and what you need. I think it's really cool that this thing of setting boundaries allows us to look deeper within ourselves and really truly ask ourselves, what do we want? Who are we? And how can I deal with it in a way that is right for me? And it lets you get down to those nitty gritty answers that maybe we're avoiding. And when I say we, I definitely know I am. I definitely know I am avoiding a lot of shit. And maybe if I asked myself those questions of, what do I want? Who do I want to share it with, if anyone? And what is going to make me feel good and comfortable? How is this going to allow me in my own unique way process the shit that I've been dealing with for 7 years? I don't know, but like maybe I need to start figuring that out. I know I need to. But like I think that's really cool that boundaries allow you to do that, you know? And another thing with boundaries, right? Going into the second step of how I've somewhat dealt and healed somewhat is writing a roadmap to me. And again, no shocker here. It's suggested by my therapist, everyone. Honestly, she's working overtime. Like, this is great. But anyway, a roadmap to you is this individualized roadmap to you and your triggers and how you experience them and what's the root of it. And I think when I first heard of this concept of the roadmap to me, I was like, what the hell are you talking about? I don't need to write shit down. I don't need to log in my little journal all the traumatic responses that I'm having from everything. I don't need to write down all my triggers. Well, I was wrong, obviously, because writing down all my triggers, so all my responses, right, to things that were happening that was very out of character for me, allowed me to truly, truly look within. And it really puts in perspective how much trauma trickles down into other aspects of our life that we didn't really realize. Like, if I would have told you that 2 months of my life would have led me to this 7 years and ongoing of shit I have to sort through. God, this is exhausting, but like shit, like I didn't realize how much those 2 months of my life dealing with everything that I dealt with would trickle down into all these other areas of my life that I had no idea it would touch. I thought, oh, it's gonna touch this and this, that's for sure, period, I'm done, I'm good with the rest of my life. Lying to myself yet again. Trauma affects every aspect of our lives. Even if we don't want to think that it is, it does. Trauma manifests into this like really annoying little thing. Like, I don't even know what to classify it. I don't want to, like, it's just this annoying little thing that keeps coming up every time you look at something. It's just there. It's like, oh, that's my trauma from 7 years ago. Thank you so much. Oh, that's my trauma from 3 years ago. Thank you. Like, what the hell? It keeps popping up. It's like that annoying ex-boyfriend that you just want to get rid of and it keeps popping the hell up. Like, no, like, go away. That's trauma. That is trauma for you. It pops up and it trickles down into other areas of our life that we truly didn't think that we were going to have to deal with it. But you know what we do? We have to deal with those emotions. And besides setting boundaries and writing this roadmap to me, the other thing is also like when I'm dealing with these emotions, the first thing I need to deal with is trying not to go into a panic attack I've been very open and honest that I suffer from anxiety and panic attacks. It's been less as time has progressed, but like they're still there because there's a lot of fears rooted in them, right? In that anxiety, in that panic. And so one of the first things I have to do to protect myself is I need to ground myself and I need to be mindful. I need to make sure I keep myself in this mindfulness state so that I don't lose my breath when I'm having a panic attack. People recommend, oh, eating dark chocolate or like having a sour candy because your brain can't process two things at once. If you are having a trigger response, you need to create some type of stimuli that is senses-based, so your five senses, so that your brain can focus on the stimuli that's happening because it can't process the stimuli that you're experiencing and also that trigger. So like, for me, it's also just another perfect excuse for me to eat dark chocolate or a sour candy. But, you know, it's things like perfume, essential oils, like those are great things to ground yourself. And that's something I had no idea about. That's also really helped me in this like healing process of figuring out what works for me and what doesn't. Like for some people, sour candy doesn't work. But like for me, it does. Some people, you know, essential oils work for them. It doesn't work for me. I can't do it. So those are like my big three things when it comes with healing and figuring it out. But like, I'm not gonna lie to you guys. Healing is such a tricky concept for me also to grasp. As much as I say, oh, it's a roller coaster and oh, it's continuous. Like that's true. Like it is. But also like when I'm deep in the trauma and I'm deep in those like trigger responses, I can't help but feel like I failed. I can't help but feel like I failed myself and have that continuous cycle of anger, blame, guilt, shame, like whatever it is. Like I just go through those emotions and I feel like, oh shit, like I failed myself. And that's like not true. And I think I'm so hard on myself. And I know for a fact that I'm not the only one that's hard on themselves. We all are so hard on ourselves. Like we are our own worst critic. And it goes back to this idea of we need to start giving ourselves more grace and more kindness, especially when we're healing. And the biggest thing that I can think of specifically that I'm okay with talking about is the letter in the box. For 2 months after the breakup, before I decided to take charge of my life, I was so hard on myself. I was so mean to myself. I was not kind. The things I thought about myself, the things I let myself believe, like it was horrible. And I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, honestly. Like I wouldn't even wish it on my ex. But I was so mean to me. I was so mean to myself. And it's like, why didn't I give myself grace? I was going through my first ever heartbreak. I was going through something so traumatic and I was being so mean and hard on myself. Why? Why would I not give myself the kindness and grace of being like, it's going to be okay. You're doing your best. It doesn't have to be picture perfect right now. You just got your heart broken by a letter in a box. Like, you don't have to be so okay all the time, Amanda. And I think that's a concept that I still try to understand because I just don't get why I was so mean to me, why I wanted to be so perfect at that time. And maybe it's because I was obsessed with this idea of perfection, but there's so much beauty in the mess. There's so much beauty in embracing being imperfectly iconic. There's so much beauty in our imperfections. And I wouldn't even classify that as imperfections, but the way that I was dealing with it and processing it and the way I was talking to myself and everything, like I just needed to be kinder to me. I think that's the biggest thing coming out of something traumatic is that we need to keep reminding ourselves that we have to be kind. We have to give ourselves grace. We have to be nice to ourselves. I think by taking the step forward of taking care of ourselves and setting boundaries, creating a roadmap, you know, learning how to ground ourselves and be mindful, we also have to remember we need to be kind because we're not going to get it right the first time or the first couple of times, honestly. We may try, you know, a certain stimuli to get ourselves grounded and it doesn't work. And we just have to keep trying until we find what's right for us. But in that in that point of, oh my God, this isn't working. Oh my God, I'm failing. We need to take a step back and breathe and be like, oof, okay, one, you're not failing. And two, be kind to yourself. You're not going to figure out what works for you right away. It takes trial and error. It takes this figuring it out part. And yeah, it's messy, but it's also beautiful because you're just getting to know yourself on a deeper level. Isn't it beautiful that at least from this really painful shit that we deal with, we can turn it into power? And in this case, it's the power of choosing ourselves. It's the power of getting to know ourselves on a deeper level. It's the power of being kind to ourselves because we deserve it. Okay, Radiant Icons, let's get into the Dare to Be Iconic hotline. How can I begin to address trauma from my past when it feels overwhelming? I think when it comes to addressing trauma from our past, especially when it feels overwhelming or almost impossible, it goes back to that positive self-talk and that self-compassion. So being kinder to ourselves and giving ourselves grace. And I know it's not easy. I mean, I just had a whole little rant about it. But, you know, like, I think when it comes to dealing with trauma from our past and taking on all those emotions of how it's affected our everyday lives currently, we have to, again, start small. And I think the first small step that you can do is to start by treating yourself with kindness, grace, and just give yourself time. You don't have to figure out everything right away. You don't have to figure out how to set up boundaries and what works for you right away. You don't have to log everything down in a roadmap. You don't have to figure out what stimuli helps with lessening triggers for you. You don't have to figure that out all right away. Start small. And the first bearable step that you can do for yourself in this situation is to start with talking to yourself nicer, being kinder to yourself, and giving yourself grace. I wish that's something I did for myself, not only outside of the breakup, right? But in other traumatic experiences, I was so, so hard on myself, and I was so mean to myself, and I still am. And I think in times when I experience those emotions, I have to step back and take a breath and be like, okay, no, we're not doing that. We are not talking to ourselves this way. And if it helps, talk to yourself as if you would talk to your best friend. Because you would never, ever tell your best friend half the mean shit that you're telling yourself. So if that helps in like reframing your mindset on it, approach it like that. And that's helped for me personally, because I would never tell my best friends the shit that I've told myself. And I think that's how it makes it a little bit less overwhelming. What advice do you have for someone who feels stuck in their healing journey? Well, this one's hard because I'm currently dealing with it right now. And I guess what I would say in this specific situation, it's really hard, right? Because like, we just want to, like, when you're at that point of like, shit, like, I just want to give up. Like, I just want to throw in the towel. Like, I don't want to deal with it. It's really hard to find the motivation to just keep going and better yourself. Like, it's really hard to find that motivation, right? Because at this point, at least for me, like when I'm at the like, I just want to throw in the towel, I'm so over it. Like I'm so over doing the hard shit and not seeing results almost. I think in order to get over that hurdle, it's a sign that you need to pause, take a break, and like reflect. And the biggest way for me to process how I need to move forward, like how do I need to change my perspective and reflect on what is happening, is journaling. I'm not even lying to you guys. Break up with the past, fall in love with the future has helped me with it. I have my own copy of it, you guys. I don't just like sell it out and be like, oh my God, it works. But like being able to go through that process of really breaking it down, or even having just like my separate journal, it's just like a regular notebook, and just word dumping everything and reflecting on what is going on really does help me when I'm at that point of feeling stuck and feeling stagnant and like there's no point in moving forward. So my advice would be, honestly, take a step back, breathe, and assess the situation in a way that's right for you. Journaling doesn't work for everyone. I have a friend who does not like to journal. So she figures out in her own way what helps her. And like, It could be a podcast. It could be going on a walk and talking yourself out loud. Like, it literally could be any of these things. But I think when you feel so stagnant and stuck in this healing process and you're like, I just want to give up. I don't want to do the hard work anymore. Like, this isn't fair. You need to take a step back. You need to breathe. You need to pause, and you need to switch your perspective and reframe your mindset. And I think the best way to do that is figuring out an outlet that will let you do that. How do you maintain your resilience in the face of ongoing challenges? Personally, I think this comes down to my why. Why am I doing this? Why am I, so for instance, with trauma, why am I going to this therapy appointment? Why am I talking about it on here on this podcast for public consumption? Why am I doing all these things, right? It literally reminds me of why I am doing this. Why am I going down this path? Why am I going to therapy to talk about it? Because I don't want to let this trauma define me. I want to figure out a way on how I can not only cope with it, but how I can be a better version of myself from it. What can I learn from this? I want to be better. I don't want it to define me. That's my why for that instance. My why for this podcast and why I'm talking about it. My why is because I know that I am not the only one struggling with this. And when I was going through this specific situation when I was 19 and the way it's affected me throughout my lifetime now up to 25 years old, like, I wish I had someone who was talking about it so publicly and having a conversation of, how do you deal with this? How do you move forward? How do you better your life? I wish I had someone that I could look up to, someone that I could relate to. And wow, I didn't think I was gonna get emotional. But like, I just wish I had that person that I could just like, just know that I'm not alone. And that's my why with everything that I do, is because I do it for younger Amanda who needed someone. And I do it for all the Radiant Icons who DM me and tell me that this and this episode has helped them and the way that it's helped them. And it just reminds me of my why. And I know that even if it's really hard for me to talk about, wow, I didn't think I was gonna get this emotional, you guys, but even if it's really, really hard for me to talk about, I know I want to do it because I know that there's a Radiant Icon who is listening to this that needs to hear it. But I also need to make sure that I protect myself in it, which goes into those boundaries, right? So what am I willing to share? And I may not go into the specific trauma experiences that I experience, right? But I can talk about the emotions that I deal with from it and how, and the aftermath and how it's affected my life, because it's been such a big part of my life that I've suffered in silence for so long and figuring it out. If I feel comfortable talking about it in whatever capacity, whether it's talking about the whole story or talking about aspects of it or talking about this, this, and this of what I've learned from it without divulging what the background is, then I've done my job. And I remind myself of that why every time. So I would encourage you to remind yourself of your why.
Welcome to the Fashionably Single Podcast, where single life meets real talk. Hosted by Hannah.
This guy is sitting next to me, and this was like a no-shoe kind of house, so he had to take his shoes off. We were playing cards, drinking, and then all of a sudden, he starts rubbing his foot on my leg.
And her co-host, Jessica.
So he leaves me at the table, he gets his food, he goes back to his car. I'm thinking he's dipping out on this date. I just told him I don't want to marry him, and I won't let him kill me, so...
Two millennials in Austin, Texas, navigating dating, independence, and becoming your best self with confidence and style.
All right, Radiant Icons, that is your tea time sesh for today. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, to leave a rating, a review, to tell your friends about us, to tell everyone and anyone, because you know we love what? More Radiant Icons in our iconic community of ours. I will never get tired of saying that, Radiant Icons. Oh my goodness. But you know what else I won't ever get tired of talking about is our everyday icons that we bring onto the podcast to spill all the tea. And next week is a tea time sesh you do not want to miss, because we are joined by the very iconic duo of Fashionably Single, Jessica and Hannah. We are spilling the tea on all things friendship, singleness, and the power of daring to be yourself. So I will chat with you all next week. Remember, radiant icons, dare to be iconic. Bye.